As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got a full squad today, folks.
Yep.
Brick for Vic. Brick for Vic.
But you think that he's going to win today, huh?
No. I cannot have everything in life. God had to keep me humble. Dominating the paint, rebound, dunking on people, euro stepping.
I had to stay humble somehow.
I also want to get rid of replays.
Let's just go with human error again, okay?
Just live with bad calls, people. We just need
to live with errors. That's it.
Kanye got in so much trouble, Kyrie got in trouble.
Yo, how I work this shit?
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang! Yeah,
yeah. With Zach Harper. Favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm going on.
Yes. Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Trevon Edwards. We got James Edwards III. We got Mo Dakhil. We got Jay King. We got a full squad. Strength in numbers or whatever. Over BS mantra and social code and hashtag you want to use. Strength in numbers on today's podcast. We got a good podcast for you. Normally I lie about that, right? I'm
like, ah, are we sure it's going to be good?
No, I'm sure.
We haven't even started recording.
Well, we have started recording. This is the intro, and I'm sure it's going to be good.
Except for 1 minute.
There's going to be a... No, we're going to make that minute good. Trust me.
The Kings minute is going to be fired today.
It sure is. I got some thoughts on that. But let's start off. I feel like I'm wasting a little time here, gentlemen, by not just getting right to it. But not as much time being wasted as the Celtics have done and as Ja Morant and the Grizzlies have done. These are the two kings of wasting time on a basketball court. So the other day... In the Grizzlies game, I can't remember who they were playing, but opponent made the shot. And, you know, the clock's running because it's not in the last 2 minutes. And this is sometime in the fourth quarter. And I want to say, at first, Ja, like, kind of just lets the ball roll, right? Like, they haven't inbounded yet. It's through the net, and it's just bouncing around, and he's just kind of, like, walking towards it, and maybe 5 or 6 seconds run off the clock at that point. And then he gets the ball and tosses it to the referee. So like now his inbound clock still hasn't started. Referee bounces it back to him. And by the time he gets the ball inbounded, I want to say like 12 or 14 seconds ran off the clock. It was something ridiculous like that. And then someone for CBS Sports, was Jack Maloney or somebody from CBS Sports, noticed that the Boston Celtics are essentially running screens to keep the other team from inbounding the ball. So Jay,
they've got offensive linemen out there.
Jay, what the hell is happening? It's a good tactic. Like, you're up in the fourth quarter, the running clock until the last 2 minutes, you know, on a made basket. These two teams are learning how to, with a lead, just waste a lot of time in a way that I don't know we've ever seen it to this level. Like, this isn't just rolling the ball up the floor and walking the dog, right? Like, it's not that. This is just to even get the ball in.
Yeah, and the other day, Aaron Gordon ended up just decking Grant Williams, like absolutely just tackling him, because the Celtics were set up like offensive linemen to stop Gordon and any other Nuggets player from touching the ball while they were running clock. And it was, he literally like ran over Grant Williams. And I asked Grant after the game, I was like, what'd you feel about getting decked? And he was like, no, that was cool. Like, I respected that. He was just trying to make a play on the ball. Like, we were standing there.
It looks like a punt, and then everybody's just standing around the ball as they watch it roll. It's ridiculous.
It's gimmicky. The NBA gimmicky. The NBA needs to figure out something, and I don't know what that something is, because you can't just let teams run clock down. And now it's getting so outrageous where guys are standing in front of the ball. It's like the flying V. Like they're just all walking with it, Mighty Ducks.
You remember? When we had a point of emphasis on defensive players cannot touch the ball when it goes through the net, right? Like you can't, like that's a delay
after
game.
After you score, right? You can't just let it through.
I don't.
This is worse.
I don't know how you regulate this, because there is kind of a tricky line here to toe in terms of like, can you really tell someone to like rush the inbound more than the 5 seconds and everything? But I do feel like the NBA needs to step in here. Well, this can't be all season long. Like this has got to be an executive decision by Adam Silver or whatever with the rules committee. Like there's got to be an emergency session to get this fixed, because I don't mind the walk of the dog with the ball, you know, like that's on the defense to force them to pick it up quicker. This is ridiculous, though.
I think there should be a rule, and I don't know how it's implemented. I'm tired of also just having to like add rules, because it just all the gimmicky stuff, whether it's the swing up on shooting. It's just always the league is getting a little too gimmicky. But
oh no, you gotta try to win however possible.
I get it.
There's always another loophole, man.
I get it to an extent, but 7 seconds after the ball goes through the net.
I don't like my ally here, so I'm just
once the ball goes through the net, the ref should start at 7 seconds immediately.
Ooh, okay.
And the ball has to be inbounded.
So just from the ball going through the net.
Yeah, it gives you 2 seconds to gather yourself, and then 5 seconds, your normal 5 seconds to inbound the ball.
All they have to do is just in the fourth quarter have the game clock stop on made buckets every time.
No, that's too much. Too much time.
First,
talking about,
guys, we need to not regulate this. Just you got to just deal with it. The defenses need to figure out what they're going to do. The walking the ball, like Zach said, just press up. That's fine.
That's
the inbounding
of
the ball thing. Like, we got to stop trying to regulate everything, because when we regulate it, we're just going to end up making it worse. It's, you know, stop the clock. All right, now the fourth quarter goes for an extra 20 minutes.
No, just because Jay threw out a bad idea doesn't mean that's the solution.
But how do you really fix it? Like, there's no real good solution. Okay, so breakaway,
it's up to the discretion.
I thought mine was good. Damn it.
Yeah, that's something.
You know what would fix it? Elam ending.
Jay's just trying.
No, we're not.
Jay's
doing
just
this.
Trying to be a dick. He woke up on the wrong side of the bed on a Sunday.
He didn't have to try.
Whoa, Mo. Yeah.
I think I think you could, can't you just leave it up to the referee's discretion? Like, Trey, couldn't you just make this a delay a game worthy situation if it gets egregious?
Yeah, you could, but I just think that right now they're just trying something out. I mean, I wouldn't be too alarmed about it, unless it starts to affect games.
Like the Celtics one's egregious. They're literally blocking people from getting to the ball. Jaws just moseying around, right? Jaws treating it like I treat a grocery store. I'm just kind of strolling. You know, I'm not in any rush. Like, I'm just, you know, I'll see what's there. I'll see what they got there at Erewhon today. Like, let's see what the cooked food is.
Window shopping.
Yeah, just kind of going for a little stroll. But the Celtics are, I mean, they're blocking better than the Rams right now. Like, this is just...
That's not saying much, yeah. Zach. We're blocking better than the Rams right now.
I think if a couple teams complain about it a little bit more, then they'll kind of take heed about it. But right now, it's just starting to catch some eyes. And
yeah,
unless it affects games, I don't see a problem with it.
Well,
it's an interesting strategy, though.
I don't know if
they're genius or not, but it's something to look at. that, and see if other teams pick up and try to do it as well.
That running clock, like in the fourth quarter with the lead, I mean, that is a, it is a smart idea. I also wonder, if this, it is catching eyes and people are talking about it online, which usually will lead to the NBA taking a look at it because the NBA is very online. But it also reminded me just now of, I think Instagram got a fine for Nikola Vucevic the other day because he got called for, I think, an offensive foul. Oh, the
middle finger?
And he flipped the bird at one of the referees. It didn't get seen by the referee, so he didn't get a tech or anything, but it started getting posted on social media, and maybe the NBA would have seen it anyway because it was on the broadcast, but I kind of think the internet snitched on Vooch.
It's just,
and got him a fine.
I didn't know he got fined for it.
Yeah, he got fined.
It's just like when somebody calls in a penalty for golf.
The internet is the greatest detectives.
Yeah, I mean, they are, man.
The internet is the greatest detectives, man.
Yeah, he was fined $15,000.
Jeez.
$15,000 for your clicks and likes, internet. I hope it was worth it. I hope it was worth it.
Is that the most expensive middle finger of all time?
No, there's got to be.
No, there's plenty of worse. Yeah, there's probably worse ones.
Do you think if he flashes two middle fingers, it's 30?
Ooh, good question.
Ooh. Or is it just 15 for it's an obscene gesture? It doesn't matter what the obscene gesture is.
I would be.
If you're not stone cold and you're doing two middle fingers, it's got to be aggressive. Like, that's probably 30.
It's got to be.
Like, who does two middle fingers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can find a way to get a third one in there, it's 45.
Let the middle finger fly, man.
I'm with it.
Let it be welcome.
Look, Trey, I have a fuck off chambered at every moment of the day. I'm always ready, and I'm always ready to let a middle finger go up like that. I think it's just,
we know, Zach.
It's just part of communicating.
I just think that we just moving in a softer era, man. We just going censor everything at this point. Like, no emotion, no nothing. You can't even talk trash talk at this point. They're gonna be calling something.
I mean, it sucks.
I don't know.
Devin Booker got a tech for yelling, "We share the basketball." The Timberwolves. He got a tech for that. That's ridiculous.
That's not even talking trash. He's trying to help them.
That's too much. No, he's trying to help them. That's too hurtful.
To the Timberwolves?
Hurt their feelings. Come on.
The Timberwolves are like,
Cat looked at him going like, come on, man.
You're right.
I love the idea of like the rest of the team just kind of like pointing towards D'Angelo Russell like, that's our point guard. What do you expect?
Did you not see the hurt feelings, Zach? The slumped shoulders, everything that happened after that. You know, it's like, oh,
yeah, but that's because that's because they hate each other. That had nothing to do with Devin Booker. They just don't like playing with each other.
But I think
that's all that
Trey's
that
on to something though about like just the league being a bit too soft in that sense. One of my favorite highlights is Sean Kemp dunking on the dude and then pointing at him.
Right? Oh, like, the Lister Blister, yeah, man.
Like, you know, like that's awesome.
Yeah, he dunked on there Chris Gallen. There we go.
Who's the guy that Shaq dry humped?
Dudley. I mean, that was a lot of people. That's Chris Dudley. Dudley. Yeah.
And then Dudley threw the ball at Shaq afterwards. It led to like an altercation.
Yo, that's the most disrespectful shit ever. Like, to dunk on someone so hard that they throw the ball at you.
he was at half court. Like, the ball had lost its steam
point. Shaq was actually getting back on defense.
The commentators were like, Dudley might have been a good quarterback at some point. Like, that was a good throw. Pretty good.
Look, that's some pinpoint accuracy, man.
It's a big ass. So.
That was good.
Big target.
I would trade, though. I think we get a little soft here. Like, we got to have some fun in this league. Basketball is fun. Don't turn it like, I know you want the ratings in the NFL. It's not because they're no fun when it comes to celebrations. You got to let that stuff fly. You got to let it
for
go.
Sure.
Speaking of the Celtics wasting time, the Celtics are on fire, J. King. They've got, what is it, six in a row? Is that it? Six in a row?
Yeah.
They look phenomenal. I don't like this defense right now. The defense is still bad, but their offense is.
It just hasn't mattered.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, their offense is just destroying.
Their offense has been utterly ridiculous, and a lot of it is just half court offense. Like, their half court offense, according to Cleaning the Glass, is 8 points per 100 plays better than the second best, which is just insane. Like, they are just executing at a high level, shooting a ton of threes. Jason Tatum has been great every single game.
Ridiculous.
And it's crazy to watch this team and think that the main guys were all the same as they were at the beginning of last season when they just had no clue how to play basketball together. And now this team is like moving without the ball. They make great cuts. It's just 100% different brand of basketball than they played at the beginning of last season. And their offense is like really, really good right now. And it's masking their defense because defense is very average. Yeah,
the defense is worse than average. The defense is bad. But do you think that this is a product of Joe Mazzulla and what he's been able to do with it? Or do you think it is just that extended comfort from last year, everything they learned as they went from a team people were trying to break up to a team that was two wins away from a championship?
Well, it started at the end of last season. After the trade deadline, basically post Schroeder, they were the best offense in the league last season. So they were very tough to guard at the end of the regular season last year. Had their nights when they weren't as good in the playoffs, but for the most part were pretty good in the playoffs against some awesome, awesome defenses. And then this year, like, they added Sam Hauser to the rotation, who can really shoot. They added Malcolm Brogdon, who's made a huge, huge difference off the bench. And I just think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are playing like they've learned how to make everybody else's job easier and their own job easier. Everything for them used to be tough, right? Like Jason Tatum, dribble, 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 take a tough contested jump shot and live with it. And now it's like he's running into screens and really playing with pace and, you know, flaring to give himself open shots and getting, you know, all the easy baskets off cuts and stuff like that, drawing free throws at a level he's never done before. So I just think it's a continuation of what started last year, and they're really building off that.
I don't love their bench. I don't know if that's a take. Like Malcolm obviously wasn't out, but the team that they trotted out last night against Detroit, and they were able to hang on and win because Tatum just went nuclear and Marcus Smart hit ridiculous amount of threes. I don't know how that bench holds up when it gets to nitty gritty time. Like, you can't play Blake. Like, Blake got benched late last night. Cornette, like, do you trust Cornette when games matter? I like Hauser. I don't love Peyton Pritchard. Like, I just don't. Do you trust Malcolm Brogdon to be healthy for the majority of the season? Like, I do wonder about the bench, but I mean, once you get to the playoffs, you're already limiting your rotation anyway. But if I had one nitpick, I think that would be it. I would add one more bench piece.
It shows thinner though, because Robert Williams is out right now, and hopefully he can.
When he comes back,
then you're not worried about having to play Blake, right? Because Grant Williams goes to the bench,
right.
And still on the guard rotation, maybe a little bit thin depending on Brogdon's health, but. The one thing I love about the Celtics, and they're not even doing it that much, but they're doing it more than last year, they're getting out in transition. They're trying to find easier buckets, which is something they did not do at all last year. I think this year, they're about middle of the pack. Last year, they were like in the 20s. So this is, I think, a big jump for them in that area, and I think that helps just make it easier.
Do you think, Jay, do you think that Celtics fans are distracted by the good play of this team enough to not have to like pretend that Peyton Pritchard was ever good? Like, do you think that like they still want to do that, right? But now they don't have to because they're so deep.
Peyton Pritchard can really shoot, and
shooting 27% from three this year.
But he shot 41% each of his first 2 years. 41% each of his first 2 years. So he can really shoot if you need him to play. But Brogdon just gives them a totally different level of playmaking.
Playmaking, defense, scoring. Yeah.
And the interesting thing with Brogdon is they've literally brought him in and told him to be the same person he was in Indiana. Like, they've given him the ball whenever he's on the court and just kind of let him be in charge. And I didn't really expect that because obviously he's playing with a lot more talent now.
Yeah.
But he's still running a ton of pick and rolls. His usage rate is higher than it was in Indiana.
Shots fired at TJ Warren.
He's not playing as many minutes. But when he's out there, they're just having him be himself. And when the second unit has been him, Tatum, Grant Williams, and Sam Hauser, they just have a ton of shooting on the court. Like, Grant Williams and Sam Hauser, they're both shooting like 50% from three. That won't sustain. But they're both knocked down.
Yeah.
And then you have Tatum and Brogdon to get in the paint and create. And there's just a lot of offensive firepower with that. So the Peyton Pritchard. Why you got to take a shot at Peyton Pritchard? That poor guy. He's had solid seasons his first 2 years, and every year they go out and get somebody in front of him.
Because they know he's...
I wonder why.
Because they know. They know, Jay. Like, they need to get somebody better in that spot. It's that simple.
And Brian, the one thing,
I mean, he's Ryan Archie Dinacino.
Whatever. Had a stroke halfway through.
I want to hear James keep saying that. Like, I want to just let the rest of the pod. I just want James to keep trying.
To be fair to James, there is no ending to that name. It does just keep going until you decide to stop saying it.
Yeah, that's
it's what longer it is. Than
how do you actually say it, Archie? It's harder to say. Is it Archie DiNacci? How do
Archie
you say
Archie
it?
Diacono. Yeah. Archie.
Oh, Diacono. See, I've never said the Niacono. Like, I've always said Chiacino. So, yeah. I've butchered that
since
day one.
You still got it wrong.
I don't know.
We're
how to
not
say
trying
that shit
anymore. But the other thing, too, about I feel like the other thing with Tatum that we haven't really discussed, he's getting to the line better than he did all at any point in his career, averaging 9 free throws.
I mean,
a game.
Jay did just mention that.
I don't listen to Jay most of the time. So
oh, okay, well maybe be on a podcast and listen because Jay did just say
a
that.
Bad ally on this one.
I missed that one. My bad.
He is getting to the free throw
line
a lot. It's a great
here.
Point for everybody to make.
My bad.
Speaking of Jason Tatum, I'm going to transition to the next topic, guys. Who's had a better start to the season, Jason Tatum or Luka Doncic?
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Now, I thought it was funny. I never think of this stuff. I guess fans care and it matters, but Luka didn't win Player of the Month, right? Wasn't it Paul George who won who won Player of the Month for October? And I saw some Mavs fans like pissed off about that. I'm like, it's Player of the Month. Who cares? But I, you know, whatever. You want the recognition for your guy. I get that on some level. But Luka is off to a ridiculous start. So is Tatum. Tatum, I'm so impressed by Tatum, not just his ability to get to the free throw line now, but also like he just looks like he's in that mode where I don't think there's a bad shot that he's taking. Like every shot looks comfortable in rhythm and that he can knock it down, which is not how it was until about halfway through last season, right? Like he would take these shots. I'm just like, what are you doing? Like there's such a better shot there. And now it feels like he's getting to whatever spot he wants on the floor and not just settling. And so he's been ridiculous, obviously. His defense is phenomenal. Luka is averaging 34-8-8 right now. And two steals a game. He's getting to the free throw line 11
his shooting splits
times.
Are kind of bad, though.
That's always been the case, though.
I think he's like...
He takes such bad three-point shots.
I don't think
it's shooting ability.
Is he under 30 still?
He's 28.6%. He's hitting 60% of his twos. So like the shooting everywhere else is fine, but you're like, I've resigned to the fact, like, I don't think he's ever going to have a good 3-point percentage because he just takes so many bad ones. Like he definitely settles.
It's like
in
the Harden
way.
3-point percentage where he's a very good shooter, but just shoots BS shots.
It's like he turns into a carnival game.
But like
isn't it also like when we talk about like evaluating guys at the college level, you're like, all right, I trust he's going to be able to shoot three balls. Like he shoots good free throws. Like Luka's never even shot good free throws. Like it's kind of weird. Like even this year, I just looked, he's 75% and he's never been above 75%. So
he's LeBron, bro.
It's really interesting to me. Cause like when we watch him, we're like, Luka can shoot.
Yeah.
And then you kind of just like look at like the numbers and it's like, huh.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting.
I mean, he's Euro Doughy Braun. That's it.
he was 35% the last two seasons from three. you know, which is league average ish, right? Like if he's doing that on the volume, like that's good enough. It's kind of like the James Harden thing, like you mentioned.
I mean, he just rarely gets an easy one. They're all off the dribble. There's nobody to, if it were to be a catch and shoot, somebody actually has to pass him the ball. And it's something that they just don't do, you know? And I think everything's, the defense collapses on him. He has to go to a step back three. Like, it's tough. And he's done this every year where he starts out slow from three, then he'll get hot for like a month to bring the average up to like 35%. But it's, he's just never going to be a good 3-point shooter. As Zach said, like, I just don't think that's going to happen. Not till he has better teammates.
By the way, Spencer Dinwiddie is on fire. Spencer Dinwiddie cannot miss threes right now. He's hit something like 17 or 18 over his last three games. Like he's shooting 46% from three on the season. He has been so good. I questioned that move. I guess at the time I didn't know if they were going to let Jalen Brunson go. So now that they have, now that he's gone to the Knicks, like this acquisition of Spencer Dinwiddie has been phenomenal. But I questioned the move at the time, and he is just like Trey, like Spencer's fit so perfectly next to Luka. You know, Mo said they don't have someone to, you know, really pass the ball, but Dinwiddie is that kind of secondary playmaker and that secondary scorer. Like he's been perfect in that role so far.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer is not scared of the moment. No matter what people think, no matter what people say, he feels like he is just as good as Luka in his head, and he will continue to just try to have that confidence, whether he's struggling or he's going to keep it going. And it's always good to have those type of guys on your side. And right now he's playing really well and shooting the ball really well. So that's a good thing. But to answer your question, I think Tatum is having the better first 12 games or so. The record shows, obviously the game of basketball is a team game. And obviously Luka's putting up these numbers. And I mean, you guys mentioned earlier about his shooting percentage struggles. Nobody really cares if they're not winning, you know what I mean? If they're winning games or not, or if the shots go in, or he making them when they really count. He can go 1 for 11, but if you make the one that counts, then that's all that matters. So I don't think anyone's going to be a real stickler about the percentage and things of that nature. But it's nothing to like dismiss as well. We mentioned it about a week or so, about how he was leading the league in scoring. And I see it kind of mirroring the James Harden MVP season. But clearly, Mavs fans are probably frustrated and want to actually win some ball games. So that's something that he has to learn how to, you know, get his team to get on the same level as him and win more ball games.
He currently has, Trey, to your point, he currently has the third highest usage in an NBA season in history.
Well, we kind of knew that was going to happen, really? Though, right? Because they took away Brunson. And
I mean, Dinwiddie can handle. Like, I, you know,
Dinwiddie, but they didn't add other creators. They had
Dinwiddie. Wait, hold on. Tim Hardaway Jr.'s back. Like, I know he's slow to start, but like, they're getting him back.
He's not really
in the mix.
A creator. He's more of a finisher.
But he, I mean, he's somewhat, like, he's an isolator. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I like 39% is high.
Oh, it's really insane.
He made some comment about like, high. Oh, you know, there's a stat for everything. It's like, yeah, but this is a pretty like universally accepted stat out there.
Yeah. No, facts. I'm with Trey. Like, I think Tatum's just been unreal in every facet. And people want to factor in winning or whatever. Of course, that's going to give the nod publicly. But like, Tatum is just on another planet. Like, every three he puts up, I think, is going in. Anytime he goes to the hole, left or right now, like, I think it's going in. There's floaters.
His mid-range game is insane right now.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to say by far been the best player in the NBA so far, but I think it's Tatum, a couple dots, and then the next person.
I mean, Giannis. Giannis up there.
Tatum's also getting to the free throw line, guys. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah. Jay said that.
Sure, well, if you want to get to the Giannis is getting to the free throw line island by yourself first, like that's available. Oh no, I guess I just did it.
You beat me to it. Joel Embiid getting to the free throw line.
Mo, you just want to go through like the top 10 free throw attempts so far this season.
I have it right in front of me. Giannis at 12.3. Okay. Luka Doncic 11.6. Right. Joel Embiid at 10.4.
There you go.
Tatum. Tatum's fifth.
To Mo's point about the free throws.
Mo's point about Jay's point about the free throws, yes.
Yeah. Tatum used to have nights where he would go like 2 for 16. And if he didn't have it going from outside, he was susceptible to really rough nights.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And now he's getting to the free throw line. He's shooting like 80% from the rim or close to it, and getting really good looks at the rim, whether it's off cuts. Seems like he's getting one or two like easy buckets off cuts per game. He's finishing everything.
Jesus, he's 81% three feet in.
I mean,
at the rim,
81. Good Lord.
And to me, the biggest difference is not what happens when he has the ball, but everything that happens when he doesn't have the ball. Like, he has just become so much tougher to guard when he doesn't have the ball, and it's making it so much easier when he gets it.
To put that into perspective, Giannis is 80.9% this year.
Yeah, I mean,
sheesh, Tatum.
The growth of Tatum, like, this is him arriving at that Giannis superstar-type level situation if he can maintain it this year. Like, this is the Tatum everybody's been hoping for and waiting for a long time. It's just a lot of fun to watch him cook right now. I'm going to push back on James, though, saying he thinks he's the best player in the NBA. Still got Giannis. Giannis is just – I don't think it's close. I think Giannis is the best player, and then it's Tatum. But
if Tatum keeps this up –
I think Giannis is the most dominant.
If Tatum keeps this up, I don't know.
It's a hard thing to keep
like
up.
Absolutely. Like, it just – like, it was a hard thing for Giannis to keep up, right?
I feel like Giannis – does this physically. He's able to dominate the game just because how big he is physically and the way he's able to move.
Tatum's big boy and everybody out there. He gets into the mid-range area. Like, he's bumping dudes off him to get the space. Like, I mean, it's very it's not quite the bully ball of Carmelo, but it's not far from it.
Yeah. I think Tatum's one of those guys, and I learned this once I started covering the league first or he got in the league, but he's bigger in person. Like, that's a dude. Like,
he's got big shoulders.
He's 6'10" easily. Like, it's not, you see him next to these guys. Like, he was like the guy that shocked me the most. Like, this dude is huge. Obviously, you expect Giannis, but like, I didn't think Tatum was as big as
he is. For me, it was Marc Gasol.
That dude's
that's a good one.
Danilo Gallinari guy. Danilo Gallinari always gets me.
Oh yeah, because he's like 6'11". Like,
he's like a legit center size and like just enormously bulky. And it's like, oh my God, that dude is that skilled and that size? Like, how the hell?
No wonder he's so slow.
Do these players even exist?
nobody's gonna go for Luka here.
Luka's way up there. I mean, when you get to this level,
it's nitpicking, like, right?
I'm not saying the best player in the league. I'm just saying the better start to the season between him and Tatum. Because Tatum does have. I mean, Trey brings up a good point about the winning and everything, but Tatum also has a much better team around him, right? Better. Like, Dallas isn't bad, but Tatum has a much better team.
I still look at it, sorry, James.
No, go ahead.
I still look at it in a situation, if Luka had the better team, his scoring would be down. His usage rates would be lower, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. So I think both teams support both styles of play.
Yeah.
In that, you know what I mean?
But so I think
overall.
But I think Luka would get easier shots if he had a better team. He wouldn't have to work as hard.
Sure. But he wouldn't be. He wouldn't be top five in anybody gawking at the scoring. He wouldn't be a part of this. He wouldn't make this combo
But Tatum has guys that attack, drive in the lane. And I know Dinwiddie does some of it, but it's not to the point where it draws all the help. Like, when Jaylen Brown's on the court and he drives, it forces the defense to rotate and it gives Tatum an opportunity to attack the second side. Luka doesn't get a lot of those. And maybe that's part of just the way they run offense and things like that.
Yeah.
I think it gets a little bit – I still think he can maintain the scoring if he gets a little more – gets easier opportunities. I think we see with Luka is he also fades down the stretch because he has to do so much throughout the first three quarters.
Well, I think part of that too, Mo, is the Mavericks have built their team around him, right? Not that the Celtics aren't built around Tatum, but he has grown into this role where it's kind of just been like, oh, Luka can do this. So let's just, how do we build this team?
Luka walked into it.
Right? Yeah, he kind of walked into it where Tatum has grown into it. And I do think, was it James who brought up the Harden stuff? Like, the MVP Harden era in Houston there are a lot of similarities into how these two teams play offensively and everything with that.
It's identical
and
to
and
me.
It makes me wonder, and I don't know if this is a knock on Luka necessarily, but it makes me wonder, can Luka play another way? If he was on a team like Boston, like, or not can he, would he be like easily adapting to that, to a different style of play? Or is this like maybe he's a control freak. He likes to have everything run through him. And because he's so good, he's so talented, like that 39% usage, there might be part of him going, yeah, let's up that. This is too low.
Give me 57.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like, I don't think it's necessarily a knock on Luka. There are different ways of approaching this and different ways of playing. But
I think the answer is no to your question.
I don't know.
But we'll never know. Yeah. I mean, maybe we'll know, but I don't know.
And especially this young of, you know, Luka's going to have to go through some stuff to, if he's going to kind of mold his game into something else that might provide better balance at the end of games. Like, I don't know. But also, yeah. I mean, Dallas doesn't necessarily provide that. I mean, I guess KP was supposed to be that, and it was just a bad fit. By the way, we're not going to talk about it just yet, but my Wizards are on fire right now and looking pretty good.
They locked up Utah last night.
Up Utah, yeah. Jay King. Locked them up.
I like we're not going to talk about that game. And now we go.
That still doesn't impress me. That still doesn't impress me. 3 weeks ago, we were talking about how the Jazz were going to be the worst team ever. It still doesn't impress me.
I still think they'll come back down to earth.
The Jazz?
Like, yeah, earth.
Absolutely. It's funny. I saw some Rockets fan or blogger or something. I don't know. I didn't look too much into who it was saying, but had tweeted something about like Jazz fans have to be mad that they thought they were going for the next prospect, you know, the next big prospect since LeBron. And instead they're headed for a first round exit or something. And people started lighting this dude up. And I want to like, I don't want the mentions or whatever, but I was kind of thinking like, I mean, he's right. he's right. Right. Like, cool.
It's the harsh truth.
Yeah.
And I honestly think.
Go ahead, Dre.
No, I was going to say, I honestly think like it's the plot twist. I can redact a lot of things at this point. I don't want to say redact, right? I didn't see Portland being good. I didn't see Utah being good. And like I said, it's too early to be like apologizing for those takes. I mean, it's 12 games in. But I will say this. Every single one, not even Jazz fans, figured that this team was just going to kind of pack it in because Ainge is in the front office. Well,
except Tony Jones, our good friend.
Tony was right. I was shitting on Tony Jones. I used to text him after every time he said they were going to be okay.
Again, hold on. The Wizards last year started 10-3, okay?
No. Yeah.
The Wizards started 10-3 last year. Jazz started 10-3, and guess what? Wizards knocked their ass down to 10-4. So this is, I'm telling you, there's some similarities here. It's just,
okay, I'm glad that you pointed that out. Yeah. But I also see some shadow of like that Isaiah Thomas Celtics team that wasn't supposed to be shit.
Yeah.
And end up making the playoffs.
I also say the 2013-2014 Suns were supposed to tank for Wiggins and Jabari and all those guys, and they won 48 games out of nowhere.
That worked out for them.
Tobias Harris Clippers.
Yeah. That team kind of had good players, though. People just thought they stunk, but they kind of had a lot of like pretty good players.
But the thing is, though, too,
randomly,
they're winning so much now, even if they drop to the level that the Wizards were last year, they're not going to be in the top five in the draft. They might have already screwed themselves for that. You've almost shot yourself in the foot where you're like,
The thing that helps them is like, you know, San Antonio has a surprising amount of wins so far. OKC does. Indiana does. So it's kind of like that helps them a little bit. But we're still talking about like 5 or 6 wins to 10 wins so far. So you got to make up those, you know, that difference. And then, you know, I don't think anyone expected Detroit to be this bad.
No.
And
I did.
Well, the guy who knows the team did, but this bad, like worst net rating in the league.
No, I didn't expect that. But yeah,
destroyed in the second half.
I think they'll look better when they get healthy.
Yeah,
even if it's the names people want to laugh at, the names that are coming back healthy, it'll help.
The best result out of all this, though, is the Lakers getting the number one pick and it going to New Orleans.
Like, man, I've been calling that since day one. I want that to happen.
They're 2-10 right now, and it's like, this is exactly.
I told everybody this team is a bunch of bums. Like, don't let the pretty names distract you. Like, this is a bad team, and I think it's gonna get worse.
Yes.
I think this is more entertaining Lakers basketball. Like this is I've enjoyed this discourse more.
I can't watch this team, man. I hate watching.
We're talking about it right now, but last year we had a Lakers segment on every show.
Yeah,
and this year they're so bad that we can't even do that anymore. And I love that.
I think it's better for basketball.
It was tough talking about them last year. It was tough.
It was.
Frank Vogel's got to be the happiest man in the world just sitting at home. He probably grabs a beer.
I bet he puts that ring on. I bet he puts that ring on before every game.
puts his ring on, grabs a beer, and just watches him get beat by 25 and has the best time.
He called Steve Nash after he got fired going like, trust me, this is better for you.
This is better, yeah. And you made more money, Steve, so don't worry about it.
He's sitting there like Troy Brown Jr.
Oh, man, I like Troy Brown Jr. I don't know why. I just do. I want better for him. I want him back on the Bulls.
That sounds like a Jay take. I feel like Jay would like Troy Brown Jr. I didn't say he's good.
I just said I like him.
All right, that's fair.
Jay would be like, oh, he's a problem. He's built different.
Troy Brown is not a problem.
All right. Real quick, some trade rumors. Apparently, the Miami Heat would love to get a reunion with Jay Crowder, who has obviously had some success there in Miami. But reportedly, the Suns want Max Strus back in return.
Don't do it, Miami.
Can't do that.
No. Don't do
Strus
it.
Strus is so good.
You bet.
Yeah.
Strus had 31, right?
I think so, night? Yeah. Like Strus. Last night? And Strus is like, open. I don't know if people are profiling because he's white and doesn't look athletic, but Strus is a hell of a defender. Like, he's legitimately a good defender. He's got incredible hands. Like, you can't let Strus go. Not for Jay Crowder.
No.
And that, they do need a Jay Crowder type, though. Like, they need someone with the size to play the four.
Agreed, yes.
But still be versatile.
I mean, maybe if Duncan Robinson came back to being the player he was pre-contract, maybe that would make it easier to do that. But I think Strus is someone who needs to be there for a long time.
No, they can't. Even if Duncan Robinson becomes the guy, because you guys said it, Duncan Robinson ain't going to do what Strus can do defensively, at least just being in the right spot, making the quick hands and things like that.
Is Phoenix overplaying its hand here?
No, Phoenix can't trade Crowder for just draft picks. They're trying to win a championship this year. Like they're in an
especially with the Cam Johnson
right. Like
injury.
They need to get a piece back. Like I understand Phoenix's demand of like, yo, it's you want him, it's going to cost you Strus. Like it makes sense for Phoenix to demand that. They don't have any other options. They can't go and just take, all right, just give us 2 second round picks and whatever two way guy or something. It's not going to work for them. They need a piece back. And that's what makes this Crowder trade so hard for them to find somebody who's trading them a piece that they need.
Is it more important that they trade for Jay Crowder and get that type of player there, or that they find new naming rights now that FTX has gone under?
That's got to be the quickest naming right era of all time.
Dude, what? Tom Ziller, I think it was a little over a year, but Tom Ziller pointed out that that back when Smoothie King Arena happened in New Orleans, it took 8 months of like investigations or studies or whatever to make sure that the Smoothie King wasn't putting like banned substances in their smoothies.
Oh my God.
Like on accident or whatever. Like that was a real thing that happened. And like with all these like crypto.com arena and FTX arena and everything, they're like, oh yeah, we'll take that money. We know that it's not real. We'll take it. That's fine. And now look what happened.
Now the Heat are going to have a Bang Bros patch on the top of their jerseys.
Is UD going to do Bang Bro commercials like he's been doing for FTX?
Okay, let's move on to something more problematic and more offensive. Let's go to Jay King's King's Minute. Hey, you guys want to lighten the mood a little bit?
Please.
Yes, I do.
It's time for
Jay King's King's Minute.
Brought to you by Jay.
Hold on, Jay. Let me get the timer started here, all right? Your King's Minute starts now.
The Kings, baby. I should be excited after this week. It was a 2-1 week. They beat the Cavs. They beat the Lakers who didn't have LeBron, whatever. Their offense is humming.
Don't run that stop sign. Don't run that didn't have LeBron stop sign.
I'm only here to complain about the missed foul call on Klay Thompson. What the hell? This could have been a 3-0 week for the Kings. They could have had wins against the Warriors, the Cavs, and the Lakers. And the NBA just missed the most obvious foul in the world. Kevin Huerter shoots a three. Klay Thompson hits him at least three times. Like, just hammers him.
They cancel each other out.
Call. Give the Kings some respect. Give them some respect. They deserve respect. Mike Brown deserves respect. De'Aaron Fox deserves respect. Kevin Huerter deserves respect.
By the way, they're 27th in the NBA in defensive rating.
And they have gray jerseys. Those things are fucking disgusting, man.
At least their building sponsor.
Well, they once had power balance pavilion, so they have learned from the naming rights.
How are we not talking about the laser on their roof? What are we doing?
Nah, man, the Luxor's got that, and Luxor still has people in there. I don't mind the laser on the roof. Like, it's people looking for a deal, but it's still, you know, the Luxor still got people in there. You can still get a good little roulette run at the Luxor, walking through, going to another casino. You could do that. I think that happened the night Jay King was taking charges. Or was that Excalibur? It's one of those. But when Jay King's taking charges from strangers in the streets,
when you guys showed me that video, he actually did it.
3 a.m., people just trying to get back to their hotel room, and Jay King just goes in front of him and flops.
I took it straight to the chest.
2 months later, that man got married. And it's just stunning. Jay, I'll give you some extra time if you want to talk about how the Kings needed to take it down to the wire against a Lakers team that didn't have LeBron James. Do you want to talk about that or no?
Here's how I'm going to spin this one. The Kings are good enough now to play down to their competition.
I like that.
They won 5 of their last 7. Offense is number 8 in the world. That was a very good win against the Cavaliers. Had the Warriors in the world.
The win against the Cavs in the world is great. The win against the Cavs was legitimately impressive. Yeah. Like, there is no oh, but what about this? Like, that was a legitimately impressive win. Mm-hmm.
It sure was.
The
other two teams.
The Orlando win was not.
Warriors.
I mean, they've beaten Charlotte, Orlando, the Lakers for 3 of those 5 wins. I don't know, Jay.
You can only beat the teams on your schedule. But the rest of their schedule has been vicious.
It's been a pretty solid schedule so far. Yeah. I can't disagree with that. Well, actually, strength of schedule is 26th. Yeah, so that's been pretty hard. Been pretty difficult.
But they're supposed to be built for the playoffs.
Built for the playoffs, right?
No. This is the thing. Kings fans were chanting like 40 wins, 40 wins in the summer.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to get that. But I don't like that's a good goal. This whole what if they make the playoffs? And that's ridiculous. Jay King saying they're going to be a good defense now. That's ridiculous. But the play-in tournament is wide open for that 10th spot because the Lakers are so bad.
They should shoot for that.
Yeah. Like, that's a legitimate goal is by default making the play-in tournament. I think that's progress. I think a fall is coming. And
the problem is you would need Minnesota to start playing basketball again.
Next week we will dive into just how dumb that team is, because I'm gonna need more than 5 minutes for that.
Really insufferable if they actually are pretty good though.
I'm not worried. All right. Make sure you're checking out all the great NBA coverage on The Athletic, theathletic.com. Make sure you subscribe for the best coverage, not just the NBA, but the sports on the damn internet. For Trey, for Jay, for James, for Mo, I'm Zach. Keep it locked in on The Athletic Podcast Network.